A number of years ago, in the previous century, there was a high wire act across Niagara Falls by the great Blondin. And he would walk on a tightrope across the falls. And every day as he was doing this, people would gather and watch what was going on. And he noticed that there was a man standing at the one side of the tightrope act. And he said to the man, "Do you believe that I can walk across this tightrope today and make it safely to the other side?" And he said, "Oh yes, I believe in you could do that. I believe in you." Then he said, "Well, suppose I had a wheelbarrow in front of me and I loaded it with bricks and I wheeled it in front of me across the tightrope. Do you still believe I can do it?" He said, "I believe in you." He said, "I have faith in you." He said, "All right, you get in the wheelbarrow and I'll push you across." He said, "No, no, I don't have that much faith." In the gospel reading this morning, there were three stories where people faced various situations of distress in their life, and they came to Jesus. And what we noticed is that these people made three requests. Not three each, but three separate requests. The first one was a man who came to Jesus and he said, "My daughter has just died. Come and put your hand on her and she will live." That's quite an ask. The second story is about a woman who had been suffering from a bleeding condition for years. And she had spent all kinds of money and there had been no help given to her. And she made this statement: "If only I can touch the hem of his garment or his cloak, I will be healed." That's quite a statement of faith. And the third one was a statement by two men who were blind. And their request to Jesus was simply these words: "Have mercy on us." As we read these stories, and you can look in the Gospels, because some of them have expansions on the story, and you get a little more detail in various Gospel writings. But they're very touching stories of people who are in great need, and they come to Jesus with a request. This morning, we're just going to focus on one: the story of the two men who were blind. And over again, you will find a theme that resonates either explicitly or implicitly in these stories. And the statement is this: according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith. So if we were to take a few moments this morning and to ask you this question: how would you rate your faith in life? Would you say, "I have strong faith"? Would you say, "My faith isn't very strong, it's rather weak"? Or would you say, "There are times when I am filled with lots of doubts"? I would think it would be fairly reasonable to state that most of us would say, "I would like my faith to be stronger." So the question we want to look at this morning as we begin is, how does God build my faith? How can my faith become stronger as I live out my life one day at a time? Well, the first thing I believe as we look at this story is that faith will start with a desire. There is something that you wish in your own life. And when you think about it in life, nothing much happens without some form of desire. Maybe you have set certain goals. Where you have a desire to reach those goals, or maybe you have some level of ambition, or maybe there's a task that you want to be able to do. Maybe you'd like to learn how to play an instrument. And so you have this desire to have beautiful music all around you that you can be a part of. So here are two men. They're in a similar situation in that they are blind. And in that day and in that age, blindness was very often a common ailment for many, many people. In fact, it still exists today in a great portion of the developing world. There are many people who struggle with blindness. One time when I was teaching in India, they had asked me, when you come over, is there any way you could bring walking sticks for the blind? Because they were associated with a blind institution just down the road. And so I went to the CNIB here, and they loaded me up with all kinds of these collapsible walking sticks. And I said to the people in India, well, why do you need the walking sticks? And they said, well, if you've ever seen any pictures of India or watched travel movies or if you've ever been there, you know that the streets are very crowded and congested. And I would see people walking along with a walking stick, which is white, and the rickshaw drivers would drive right over their sticks. So they're all busted up. So they needed this just to be able to make headway going down the street. Well, there are many reasons for the blindness that could exist. It could be unsanitary conditions that cause blindness. It could be infectious organisms. It could be the result of some accident that has happened. And we don't really know the cause of blindness for these two men, but they are blind. And they're following Jesus, and he moves from a home, from where he is to a home where this little girl is pronounced dead. And as Jesus reaches that home, he raises her from death, and they begin to cry out to Jesus. And so here is their desire: have mercy on us. Jesus, we would like to see. That's ultimately what is going to be their request. And so they wanted to flee from the darkness. They wanted to be set free from groping about and trying to find their way in life. They wanted to be able to do what all of us here can do, which is to see. So when God's building our faith, it starts with a desire. But it needs to be followed by a decision. We have to make a decision. You might have all kinds of desires in life, but nothing's going to happen unless you put it into action. You can have some great dreams, some great wishes that you'd like to be fulfilled, but just dreaming about things never makes it come to fruition. And so these two men are not content to live in this world of darkness. They had this incredible desire that they would like to see as everybody else could. And so what we see is that in this stage of their faith, faith is active. It is not passive, because they need to do something about it. So what do they do? The first thing they do in this decision to have their desire fulfilled is that they cry out to Jesus. Remember, there's a crowd of people around Jesus. Wherever he seemed to go, people were attracted to him. So think about it. Here are two blind men getting caught up in this crowd. They can't see where they're going. They're groping and struggling to make headway. There's lots of hustle. There's lots of bustle. There's all kinds of noise. So how are they going to connect with Jesus? How will they make any type of contact? The only way they can do it is to shout. Now, it's interesting. The word that is used here in the text is a word that implies shouting or screaming with great intensity. So here's the picture we could probably all relate to. Suppose you are a parent with a little kid, and you go into a busy mall, and your child gets lost, and they're wandering around in the mall. You can hear that voice. They're yelling for mom or for dad. Or sometimes it's mom and dad yelling the name of that child. Because they can't see the child. They know they're there somewhere, but they've got to connect. And that's the exact picture of these two men They are yelling out to Jesus. These two men were determined to be heard over the noise, the hustle and bustle of that entire crowd. Because they knew, we have to get to Jesus because he is our only source of deliverance. So they have to cry out. That's their decision. We're going to cry out, but we're not going to worry about being embarrassed. We're not going to worry what people are going to say to us. But we also have to let go of our securities. You might be thinking, well, what kind of security does a blind person have? Well, they've learned how to live their life in a certain way. And that in itself becomes a form of security. Have you ever had to make changes in your life? And you think, no, I'm just happy the way things are. Might not be the best, but let's just leave it like that. Well, with every decision to make a change, you have to let go of some of the securities that you might be used to. And so for these men, living in darkness had been a way of life. And depending upon other people had been a way of life. They probably had to beg, and people would give them money. Now that they can see, they're going to have to get out and look after themselves. So it's going to be a new way of living life if they have their sight restored. Here's the question. Will they go for it? Will they make that decision to let go of their security? Well, they did, because they kept crying out to Jesus. And so as God's building our faith, it starts with the desire. We have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Will I cry out to God? Will I let go of the security systems that I have known? But then sometimes, and maybe more often than sometimes, there can be delays. God, I've told you what I want. I'm ready to move on. How come it's not happening right now? God does not always fulfill our desires immediately. There are delays, and there are periods of waiting. And for many of us, waiting is not the easiest thing to do. We like things happening now. We live in a culture of instantaneous gratification. And we expect the same with God. So sometimes when God delays, we ask the question, when is it going to happen? God, when will you answer my request? When will my desires be fulfilled? Have you ever found yourself in a hurry and discovered that God wasn't? Often in this period, God is working in our lives. He is working on us before the conclusion is given. And in this period of waiting, here is the key principle. Will I learn to trust God? Will I trust Him when things are not moving as quickly as I would like it to happen? In this period of waiting, we discover that God is loving and He is merciful. One of the great prophets in the Old Testament was Jeremiah. He was asked to trust God over and over and over again. And after 40 years of ministry, it is doubtful if he ever had one convert. At times they beat him up. One time they threw him in a dry well, which is like a pit, where he couldn't get out and he was left to die. He suffered all kinds of insults and abuse. And he asked many questions. He cried out, God, why is this happening to me? How long will this go on for? But then he wrote an interesting book called Lamentations, from which we get the word lament. And we all know what a lament is. We are crying and we are upset and we're angry and we are frustrated and saying, why is this happening to me? Why is that happening now? But look at these words that he wrote. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, and his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. God's compassions never fail. His mercy is new every morning, and God's faithfulness is incredible. So God is asking us in the midst of a delay one question. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? And so the writer to Hebrews has this statement to encourage us. Jesus was made like us in every way in order that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. As a priest, there were two functions that they fulfilled. One was they spoke God's word to the people, and they spoke on behalf of the people to God. Jesus is our high priest. What he is doing for you and for me, even at this moment, is that he is praying on your behalf to the Father. God is speaking to each one of us in a way that says, will you trust me? Knowing that Jesus is a merciful and compassionate and faithful high priest who is praying for us even at this moment of time. And God is working in this period to begin to mold and to shape our lives. So these two men yell out. And at the beginning, Jesus shows no response. Remember, it's a big crowd. There's lots of noise. There's hustle and bustle. And as the crowd moves along, these two guys got to find their way so they won't lose contact with Jesus. So they have to keep listening for his voice. But all of that demonstrates their determination in the midst of that delay. And I'm wondering, is Jesus testing their faith to see if they are very sincere in what they want to have done? So maybe in the midst of waiting and in the delays that you and I encounter, we could begin to ask this question: God, what are you doing in my life? How are you shaping me? But also, do I really desire what I am asking for? And so don't be surprised if along the way, there's not only a delay, but you will encounter difficulties. Difficulties can be a reality of life, and there can be all kinds of problems. Peter, in the writing of that letter to the young Christians, said these words: presently you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These come, now notice this, so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though it is refined by fire, may prove to be genuine. So there's difficulties we're often facing, and God is saying, we're going to see how your faith can grow and develop and become truly genuine. So as we look at these three stories, we see all kinds of evidence of difficulties that people encountered. The first one was Jairus. He says to Jesus, my little girl is very ill. And then on the way, they get to the house, and here's what he is told: your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? There were the mourners that already gathered outside the house while he was away, trying to get Jesus to come to his house. Then there was the woman. For 12 years, she had spent all of her resources on medicine, and nothing availed. She was getting worse and worse, and getting poorer and poorer. And she said to herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. But you see, she was considered ceremonially unclean. People did not want to be near her. And she couldn't be part of that group to get close to Jesus unless she was willing to persist through the difficulties and make her way through that crowd and touch the hem of his garment. And she was going to slip away. Except Jesus spoke to her. And he asked this question: who touched me? And the disciples said, Jesus, there's a crowd here. There's people jostling and pushing. And you're saying, who touched you? He said, yes, because power went from me. And the woman, in fear and trembling, came forward. Because can you imagine her embarrassment? She had been in contact with these people who were now going to be ritually unclean because of her. And in one of the Gospels it says, and she told Jesus the whole story. I think that would include what it's like to be sick for 12 years. What it's like to try one cure after another with no results. What it's like to be ostracized from community. What it's like she couldn't even go to synagogue because she was considered ceremonially unclean. She told him all the difficulties that she had encountered. And then there were the two blind men. They must have had the challenge of trying to keep up with Jesus. There's a crowd there. It's moving along. There's the push and the shove. And somebody would probably be yelling to them, "Be quiet. We want to hear what Jesus has to say." And then they get into the house. And Jesus turns to them there. And this is what he asks them. "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that I can heal you?" That's an incredible question. Seems rather strange as I think about it. I think it even sounds a little bit cruel. In the light of everything that's taken place in their life, they're handicapped, they can't see. They've been following Jesus, trying to keep up, going through this crowd, and they struggle. So what answer will they give to the question that Jesus raises? "Do you believe I can do this?" What if they give the wrong answer? What if Jesus thinks they're not really sincere in what they're saying? And they simply say, "Yes, Lord." And the term there, "Lord," is an affirmation that Jesus is the Messiah. "Yes, we believe because you are God. And therefore, because you are God, you can do all things, including giving us sight." And then there's the final thing, the act of deliverance. God used Jesus to reveal his mighty works. He raised a child from the dead. A woman was healed of her hemorrhaging. And two men were given their sight. Their difficulties ultimately led to an act of deliverance. So when facing a dead end, we need to expect that God will act. I love these words from Psalm 27. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now notice this. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord." God seems to have to emphasize wait at the beginning and at the end. Wait for the Lord. God knows the perfect timing and what he is going to do. So the question this morning is, what are you expecting God to do in your life? And in verse 29 of this text in Matthew, Jesus said, "According to your faith, will it be done for you." So when you have a desire, let me encourage you, first of all, to check it out and to see if this desire is really from God. There will be two things that will help you to make that evaluation. The first is, the desire will never contradict in principle the Word of God, and it will always be for the good. But the second principle is this: if it is from God and it requires faith, you will know that it's from God. If it's something you can do on your own, well, faith is not even needed. You can just do your own thing. So as you wait, and maybe even as you are facing challenges or difficulties, remember, God is using all of this in this moment of time to shape your life and my life so that I will learn to trust him more and more. And the promise is, at the right time, he will do it. When is the right time? God only knows. But because God only knows, and being who he is, I will choose to trust him that will be the right time. "I am so confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. Let's pray together. God, at times waiting is not easy for any of us. But we thank you that our life and our times are in your hands. And because we belong to you, we can trust you with whatever comes. So thank you that we are yours. And if we live unto the Lord. And if we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, Lord, we are yours. And that is the basis of our trust, our faith, and our hope. We pray this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.